I have my courtyard minion here, so that was the problem before.
Yeah. Okay, then. So we're looking on Daf Kuf Hey Omid Aleph. And we're up to the second line, the two dots. That's what we got up to yesterday. And the Gemara says the following. Kosav os achas no trikon. Which means that one letter can sometimes be an abbreviation of an entire word. And the Mishnah records a machlokas tanoim. We normally say that the minimum shear of ksivas requires two osios. But what about the case of notrikon, where he wrote one letter, but it's read as an entire word? And we're going to soon see that in the Torah itself, there are letters that are read as full words. And the Mishnah records a machlokas, Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira Machayev, v'chachamim potrim. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, he'll be chayev for writing one letter, whereas the chachamim say, no, you got to write two letters. That's the absolute minimum. Omar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, minayin l'loshon notrikim in haTorah. Can you give me examples in the Torah itself of this kind of abbreviation where we read a letter as a word? And the answer is, Shenemar, God addresses Avram Avinu, Ki av hamon goyim nisaticha. And what we're going to do now is we're going to take the, for example, we'll start with the word av, we'll take the aleph and the beis, and then we're going to go on to the word hamon, and take the hey, the mem, the vav, and the nun, and each one of these letters is an abbreviation of an entire word. Now we start with the Av. And the Aleph of the Av is Av Nisaticha Laumos. You are the father of nations. The Beis of Av is Bachur Nisaticha Laumos. Bachur is Miloshim Bechira. You are the chosen one amongst the nations. So that's Av. Now we get to the word Hamon. And we start with the Hey. Now, in Drashas Chazal, a hey very often replaces a ches. So we're going to read the hey as if it were a ches. Chaviv nesaticha ba'umos, you're beloved amongst the nations. We get to the mem, melech nesaticha la'umos. Avram Avinu is called nesiato b'kirbenu, he's a king amongst the nations. We get to the vav, vasik nesaticha ba'umos. Vasik means you're very outstanding, you're very distinguished, you're like the elder of the generation. And finally, the nun is Nema Nesaticha La'umos, which means that the nations of the world trust you. And that was all Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Yossi. Rabbi Yochanan Didei Amar, Rabbi Yochanan himself had a different source in the Torah for Notrikon. And that's the first word of the Aseres HaDibros. And God introduced the Aseres HaDibros with the word Anochi, which is made up of four letters, no trikon. So the Aleph is Ana Nafshi Ksivt Yehovis. I myself, Nafshi, wrote the Torah and gave the Torah. That's the Aleph of Anochi. Rabbanan Amri. Oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. So the Aleph is Ana, means I myself, the nun is nafshi, and the chaf is ksivas, and the yud of anochi is yahavis. So I myself gave you the Torah. Rabban and Amri, they have a different way of reading the aleph, nun, chaf, yud. Amira ne'ima ksiva yehivna. A pleasant statement was written and was given to you. This is Joachim Darche Noam, the pleasantness of the Torah. Ika diamri, others have a different way of darshaning no trikun, in which you take a word, each letter of which is the beginning of a word, but you read it backwards. So in the case of Anochi, the yud comes before the chaf, and that's called a mafreya when you go backwards. The yud is yahivna, and the chaf, if you're going backwards, is ksiva. and nemonim amarecha.
I already put in it ice cubes.
Okay, here, take this one.
Okay. I'll have one too if you bring it.
Yeah. You like chamomile tea? That's the question. Okay. And the nun is nemonim, and the aleph of anochi is amarecha, and it was given in writing and reliable art statements. Okay, now we have to bei Rab Nosson Amri, another pasuk that he's darshaning. This is in the parasha of Bilam, and Bilam hits the donkey, and the angel comes forward and says, "Ki arat haderech linegdi." You have hastened the road on the road to oppose me. Meaning, you know, Bilam is really eager to get out there and curse Klal Yisrael. So we're going to take the word Yarat, Yud, Resh, Tuf, and read it as Yara, Rasa, Natasa. And this is a description of the psychological state of the donkey. Number one, Yara, the donkey was afraid because, you know, Bilam had already struck the donkey. Rasa, now the donkey is overwhelmed by seeing the angel. Again, Bilam didn't see the angel, but the donkey did. And Natasa, and therefore it turned aside. And Bilam is going to get very angry at it. The Bei Rav Yishmol Tana, this is in the parasha of the Karbana Omer, and the Torah says caramel, which is plump kernels. And we're going to read it as Chaf Reish Mem Lamin and Otrikun Kar Mole, which means a full head of grain. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Omar, this is a parasha in which Shimi ben Gera had cursed David HaMelech, and in return, David HaMelech curses Shimon ben Geri. And Shimon ben Geri had accused David HaMelech of being an adulterer and a murderer, all alagut zachin. And he says to him, "Vahu kilalani klola nimretzes." He, Shimon ben Gera, had cursed me with a very heavy curse. And we're going to dash in the word nimretzes as no trikun. What did he curse me? Noefu. He accused me of adultery with Bathsheba. Moavihu. He accused me of being a descendant of a Moavis, meaning of Rus. Rotseachu, because I sent Uriah out to the front lines. And the tzadi is tzorer, he's my enemy. And the tough is to'eva, he's an abomination. So this is what David HaMelech is saying about the klal of the curse of Shimi against him. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar, you remember that when the goblet was discovered in the sacks of the brothers of Yosef, so they turned to each other and they said, "Manidaber umanitz tadok." How can we speak and how can we justify ourselves? So we're going to take the word nitz tadak, which is made up of five letters, and we're going to make an otrikun of five words. Nechonim anachnu, tzadikim anachnu, tahorim anachnu, dakim anachnu, kidoshim anachnu. We are really upright, we are righteous, we are pure, we are innocent, and we are holy. Meaning, we're not guilty of any of the accusations. Now we're going to begin the last Mishnah in the chapter of Habona, so that we can make a little siyum. And Hakosef Shtei Osios B'Shtei Halamos, a person wrote one letter, forgetting it was Shabbos. Then he reminded himself it was Shabbos, and then he forgot again it was Shabbos, and he wrote a second letter. Is he chayav achatos, or is he not? Achas shachros yachar ben abay. One he wrote one letter in the morning, then he reminded himself in Shabbos, he forgot a second time, and in the afternoon he wrote a second letter. Rav Gamliel mechayev v'chachamim potrin. So what is the machlokas here? What are they arguing about? So the Gemara immediately analyzed. B'maika miflegi. Rabbi Gamliel savar, ein yedia l'chatzi shir. When you become aware of mezid, aware of Shabbos, it usually cuts and wedges between the beginning of that malach and the end of that malach. But not so in this case. Because, says Rav Gamliel, in this case, all he did was a chatzi shir. The Torah doesn't recognize a chatzi shir. Writing one letter is not called ksiva. He's not guilty of ksiva. In other shirim, you could say that he ate something, but he hasn't eaten enough. The shir is a grogeres. But in the case of ksiva, one letter is garnished. It's not even a beginning of a malach. So the fact that now he knows, oh no, today's Shabbos and I wrote a letter, that idea is not called the idea that registered on the Richter scale. Rabban and Savri, they disagree. They hold yesh yidia l'chatzi shir, writing one letter is ksiva. And when he finds out that today is Shabbos, and he reminds himself that he has written a letter and violated the malach of ksiva on Shabbos, that is the idea. That's a significant understanding of the fact that he violated the malacha. And therefore, that idea will serve as a wedge between the first letter that he wrote and the second letter that he wrote, and therefore, he is potur from a karma chatos. Hadron olecha perek habone. And now we're going to be...
Can I ask a question about
sure, this? Please.
I've been going on this whole section here, and it's been troubling me. It seems that the determining factor here isn't whether or not he actually performed the action, but what his intention was, or wasn't.
Right.
But the fact is, he still done it. You know, like if I'm speeding along the highway, whether or not I intended to speed, and a police officer pulls me over, I get a ticket. I'm guilty.
Right.
But here, if you didn't intend to do it, then you're okay, generally.
I wouldn't say you're okay. You have to bring a chatos, and Bob, a chatos is a lot of money. It's not cheap. You know, it's a very expensive business, and there are many requirements. The only question is, what about a mezid? Sometimes you have an integration of two elements, a shogig element and a mezid element. Somewhere midway in the middle of the malacha, he reminds himself of Shabbos. And at that point, he shifts his status from that of a shogig of unintentional to that of a mezid. And that's going to be the subject of the machlokas here between Rabbi Lozar and between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chacham. Okay. Now, the perek that we're about to learn now deals with weaving and sewing and looms. And they had looms for weaving back at the time of the Mishnah. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ha'oreg Shlosha Chutim Betchila, V'achas Al Ha'oreg Chayav. According to Rabbi Eliezer, although normally the minimum of Meleches Oreg, of weaving, is 3 stitches or 3 threads. There's a situation in which, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you'd be chayav for only 1 single thread that was woven in. And what's the difference? The first case is betchila. He's starting to create a new garment. He hasn't done anything yet. He needs a minimum of three threads. Less than 3 threads is not considered chashuv. On the other hand, Al Ha'arig, he already has a fabric, he already has a cloth, and he is perfecting it by adding 1 more stitch, 1 more thread, he's chayav for 1 thread. Chachamim disagree, and they say, Bein betchila, bein besof, shi'uro, shnei chutim. It's always got to be 2 threads, absolute, under all circumstances. Now what we have here is a kula and a chumra. In one sense, the Chachamim are going lekula, and they're saying that even if you already have a pre-existing fabric, adding one particular thread is not enough to generate a chiv oreg. There's an absolute rule, it's got to be 2 or bust. That's lekula. So he's not liable for one chut, as he would be in the case of Rabbi Eliezer, al ha'oreg, if he adds it to a pre-existing fabric. On the other hand, the Chachamim at the same time are being machmir, because in a normal case, betchila, when he's starting to create and weave a garment, then what you need is no more than 2 threads. That's a chumra. You can be chayev if you do 2 threads, whereas Rabbi Eliezer would say if you're starting a new garment, it's got to be a minimum of 3. Ha'oseh shtei batei nirin, b'nirin, b'kirus, b'napa, b'chavra, u'besal chayav. Now, to appreciate this, we have to know a little bit about the loom and about weaving. And what are these batei nirin? And for this we really need diagrams and we need videos and YouTubes and all the like. But what I can share with you is that weaving, of course, is like my fingers going up and down, right? So what they did was, they had something called a shasi. And a shasi is called, I think, a warp in English. Okay, it doesn't matter. The English is not important. And the shasi were the threads that went from the bottom up to the top, sort of like vertical. And they were tied to a roller on top and a roller on the bottom. And in the language of Chazal, the roller is called a kovet. That's not a good word to use in these days. So there's the kovet ha'elyon and the kovet ha'tachta. And they would stretch the threads from, you know, rolling it on the bottom all the way to rolling on the top. And these two rollers, so to speak, were meant to keep the threads stretched. Now, in weaving, what you have to do is, in addition to the shasi, you have the erev. The erev is going not up and down, but rather from side to side. We'll call it the east to west. It's horizontal, not vertical. The erev, which I think it's called in English the woof, I don't know. Anyway, the erev has to go in and out of the shasi. So now, in order to guarantee this, what we want to do is we want to take one thread and lift it up, while we'll call it the odd number thread, and then the next one we'll call the even number thread. That goes down, and then we keep going up and down. And while we're going up and down, we are taking the erev thread and placing it inside. And there are a whole bunch of different utensils that have to be used in order to make sure that the erev thread is pressed down. It's not too high up, because it has to be, in order to get a fabric that's tight, it has many different, there's a shevet, and there's a vedagdik, and the different kinds of looms. They had hand looms in which they pulled it up and pulled it down, the different threads. They had feet looms that were, you know, you press the pedal here and a pedal there. And all these different utensils have different names. We want to focus on a utensil called nirin. Now, nirin, which, again, the English is not important here. It's called a huddle in English. You don't have to remember that. Nirin means that they created a framework. And on this framework, which was made of, let's say, four pieces of wood in a rectangular shape, they would stretch different cords. Sometimes they were made of wires, sometimes of threads. And in the middle, they had a hole. It could be a hole, it could be a ring. And this open area in the middle is where they stretched the shasi from one kovet to the other kovet. One thread going into this hole that's being held up by this framework. Then they had another framework, which is a little bit further away from them, where they took the second thread and put it through the hole of that framework. So that's called shtei batei nirin. Now, the reason why they needed two of them is because one is going to be used for the odd and the other for the even. So when the odd is down, the even goes up, and vice versa. And that's how the orev would be able to actually do the weaving. So the first malacha that's on our list here is oseh shtei batei nirin, which means he takes two threads and puts them, the shasi threads, into these two openings in two different frameworks, or mizgalot, as we call them in Hebrew. One is going to go up and one is going to go down. And he has something called a kiros. A kiros is a different kind of a loom where, instead of lifting, you know, the two batei nirin, he pedals them with his feet. And then there's something called a napa, a kavra, and a sal. And these are different, weaving different kinds of baskets. This a sieve that was made in this way that since the Shasi and the Arif leave certain, you know, different openings, you were able to use it as a sifter, and you had a coarse sifter and a more fine sifter, and finally you had a basket. And all he has to do is set up two of these threads, and he's already ready to go. He's already ready to take the Arev and start weaving. And therefore he's liable, he's chayav. Then we have stitching. Hatofesh de tefiros. Now this three-word phrase, hatofesh de tefiros, that he stitched, or she stitched, two stitches, that already appears in the Mishnah called Gadol, back on Daf Ayin Gimel, which we learned. And the Gemara is going to be very worried as to why the Mishnah felt it's we don't find repetitions in the Mishnayos. And then we have HaKorea Omanas Litvar Shtei Tefiros. He rips something and he wants to fix it up and sew two stitches. The Gemara says, Ki Osa Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak came from Bavel, from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Tani, he had a Braisa Shtayim. Shtayim means that the minimum shear for Ariga is two threads, and that's enough. So the Gemara right away asks about Tanan, Anan Tanan, our Mishnah says Shalosh, and the minimum is three threads. Lokasha, Haba Lime Vahabi Ktine. There are different types of threads. There are thin threads, which are called Ktine. Then there are thick threads, which are called Alime. And now the Gemara has two versions as to which one fits. You know, it's a matching question. Which one requires no more than two threads and which requires three threads? And we have two different versions. Amrile lahaigisa, vi amrile lahaigisa. Some go this way and some go that way. Amrile lahaigisa. Some say that Alime, the thick threads, Tlosa, Lo Sasre, and Tre Sasre. In other words, if you have thick threads, then they're easily unravel. The thinner the thread, the tighter is the knot, so to speak. And therefore, if you have thick threads, in order to guarantee that it won't unravel and it's a permanent malacha, you need three woven threads. Because two will not suffice. But Ktine, if you have thin threads, then according to this version, Tre Nami Lo Sasre. Once you weave two threads and they're very thin, we have no fear that they'll fall apart. Amri Le Lahaigisa, the other version is Tlasa Yediye. Every malacha requires what's called Heker Ayin, that we could see it. You know, you may remember we once spoke about killing Kinim. They're so small that it's not considered Nikar Laayin. You know, we don't violate Shabbos with microscopic entities. So I wouldn't say this is microscopic, but he's saying that in the case of small threads, you don't notice the weaving. It's not noticeable. Only if it's Tlasa Yediye, Tre Lo Yediye. If there are only two thin threads, you might not even notice that they were used in this kind of weaving. But in the case of Alime, if you have thick threads, which are much more discernible to the eye, then Tre Nami Yediye, and therefore Yechayah for two thick threads, whereas you would have to, according to this version, you'd have to weave three three thin threads. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Ha'oreg Shlosha Chitin B'tchila V'echad Ala Oreg Chayav Chacham Omer Bein B'tchila Bein B'sof Shi'urim B'shnei Chutim. So far the Braisa is a word for word repetition of that Mishnah, but now the Braisa adds something else. U'B'safa, when we get to the hem, apparently the hem of a garment was attached to the garment, even though it was made of a totally different material. Even today, in our garments, we have certain, like for example, in the jacket I'm wearing, if you would open up the collar, you'd see a piece of linen, or again, hopefully it's not linen, because that would be a shatnez issue, but very often they'll use a different material. And in the old days, at the edges of a garment for a hem, they would actually sew a very thin piece of a different kind of material. And therefore the shiur, the minimum amount that it takes to violate the malach of Ariga, changes now. And all you have to do in this case is shnei chutim berochav shlosha batei nirin. Okay, you only need two threads in the thickness or the width of three batei nirin. And we'll see later on that that's a much smaller shear than normal weaving. Normal weaving requires what's called sit hakoful. So if you see my fingers, this is we used to call it the victory sign, you remember, or the peace sign. Anyway, my fingers are not that large, but some people can really separate these two fingers, the point to the middle finger, for you double that distance, and that's going to be the width of a fabric that you've created on Shabbos that you're chayav for in Meleches Oreg. But on the edges, you could be chayav for a smaller amount. Holomazed Dome, I'll give you an example of a garment that itself is very thin. It's not wide at all. Li Oreg Tziltzul Katan, he makes a small belt. A belt is very thin. And all he has to do in terms of Meleches Ariga is to weave together Shnei Chutim Berochav Shlosha Batei Nirin, which is a shear that's much smaller than the shear of Kofel Asit, Sit HaKofel. And that's because now you're creating a belt. You're not creating an entire garment. It's just one belt. So even if it's thin, that's fine. Ha'oreg Shlosha Chutim B'tchila V'yechad Ala Oreg Chayav. This brisa that opens up, which says that if you start a beged, you need three threads to be chayv. If you add to a pre-existing, all you need is one thread, is stoma kirabi Eliezer. That is an anonymous statement, which is really, in truth, the statement of Rabbi Eliezer, as we saw in our mission. Tanya Idach, we have another brisa. Ha'oreg shnei chutim ala gas. Okay, so gas is a large piece of cloth, of fabric. And here all you need, even according to the Chachamim, is shnei chutim. You just have to add two threads. Normally we said, in other words, even though it's a pre-existing fabric, you still require two threads. V'ala imra, imra is the hem, or the border, the outer border, is then, if you have two threads, you're chayav. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, afilu echad. If you're adding to a pre-existing fabric, as we saw, one thread is enough to be chayav. And in the sofa, in the hem on the edge, or shnei chutim, all you need is shnei chutim berochav shlosha batei nirin, a very small area of width. Chayev holamaze dome li orig tziltzul katan shnei chutim al rochav shlosha batinim. So it's a much smaller shear. Ha'orig shnei chutim al agas v'al imra chayev stoma kirabana. In other words, even though you have a piece of wool or garment and it's pre-existing, where Rabbi Eliezer would say that all you need is one chut, but this price reflects the shita of the chacham. Hosa shnei batei nirin, my nirin, what are nirin? Amar Abaye, tarti bebatei nira, which means that you thread twice inside these batei nirin, these heddles, as we call them, and v'chada benira, and then one time around the heddle rope itself, and he's got two batei nirin that he put into, right? He put it through those rings, if you remember, and then he puts chada one time, he wraps around the base nir itself. Because again, you know, he needs an extra strength. He says the rope coming from the rod is looped around the warp thread. Okay, so I guess he's talking about looping around a rope. Now, what's a kirus? My kirus Amarav Mitsubisa. Sounds like a name of a Japanese car. But anyway, what we're referring to here is a different kind of a loom, which is called a Mitsubisa. And we said it was, you know, it was operated by the legs, you know, the pedals. Hatofesh de Tfiros. Hatanino be'avos melachas hatofesh de tefiros. Why did that Mishnah have to repeat what's word for word what we have in our Mishnah of Klal Gadol? Mishum de kaboy lemisnei seif. It's only an introduction to the next part of the Mishnah. Hakorea almanas litvarsh de tefiros. When he rips something, and his intention is to replace the rip with two stitches, he's chayav. So the Gemara says, "Ktoni nami atofer." Once he mentions korea, and korea requires that his kavana is to be tofer shtei tefiros after the kriya. So he goes back and he tells you that the tefir itself is a minimum of two stitches. Hakorea, I don't get it. Why did the Mishnah have to repeat Korea? Korea is also listed in the Mishnah in Klal Gadol. Hanami Tanino, we have it written explicitly, Be'avos HaMelachos, in the list of Melachos. Ella, once again, the Gemara says it's only an introduction to the Sefer. Mishum de Kaboy L'Misli Sefer, in the last part of the Mishnah, he wants to tell us, HaKorea B'Chamoso V'Almeso. That even, right, inadvertently, I left that out when I read the Mishnah, the last line in the Mishnah. Even if he rips his garment for the purpose of avelus, of almeso means his grief, and mechamoso means out of anger, he ripped his garments. Even so, he's going to be chayev for violating the malacha of Korea. Okay, maybe I didn't skip it. Just one second. Where is my... Oh, I see. This Mishnah is introducing the next Mishnah. Okay. Now, HaKorea Almanas Litvar Shtei Tefiros Hechi Mishkach Asla. Why would a person rip something in order to replace it with two stitches? And here we turn to Daf Kuf Heyam and Beis. The Avda Bekista, he didn't do a good job on the first round, so when he made the garment, there was something that was protruding, it wasn't flat, it was like a pocket, and what he's going to do is he's going to tear that part and flatten it out and then restitch it. So that's a case where he ripped it in a constructive way for the purpose of re-sewing it. And now we get to the case of HaKorea Michamoso. HaKorea Michamoso, a person is angry, and he wants to let out his anger, and perhaps the psychologist maybe would say it's a good idea, you know, give him a piece of cloth and let him rip it apart to shreds. Almeso, he's in a state of mourning. He just buried one of his relatives, and he starts ripping his clothes. Perhaps the Mishnah is referring to the mitzvah of Kriya. We don't know. V'chol ha'mekalkalin p'turin. Even though he's letting out his anger, or he's expressing his grief and mourning, nevertheless, at the end of the day, he destroys his garment by ripping it, and that's considered mekalkal. We have a principle in Hilchos Shabbos that mekalkal is potter. If his actions are not constructive, but rather destructive, that's not a malacha. Torah says, "Malechas machsheves," that your malacha has to be created. However, hamakalkil al menas l'taken, if his action in and of itself seems destructive, but it's really necessary for a constructive purpose that's going to follow, then he's going to be chayev, and shi'uro b'kimisaken, meaning he'll be chayev for destroying it, and the amount that he destroys to be chayev, that measurement will be determined by the tikkun that he intends to rectify and improve following the mekalkel. So, for example, after the kriya, which is destructive, he flattens out the thing, he's going to sew two stitches, so the kriya would have to be a minimum of two stitches. Shir hamalabein v'amenapeitz v'atzovea v'atova kimelo rocha v'asit hakoful v'ha'oreg shnei chutim. V'ha'oreg shnei chutim shi'uro melo hasit. So we have a number of malachas here. We have whitening a cloth, which means cleaning it. We have disentangle, when you have two threads that are tangled together, you have disentangle. And then you have dyes. And then you have spinning. In all these cases, the minimum shear is going to be twice the width of a sit. Right? We spoke about a sit before. But in the case of Oreg, and he weaves two threads, shiuro, the minimum amount is just one sit. That's half the amount. The Gemara asks for a mini, we have a contradiction. And the Brisa says, HaKorea b'chamoso ubi evlo v'al meso chayav. That person tears something because he's angry or because he's in a state of mourning and grief, then he's chayav. Afal pishe mechalas ha-shabbos yotzi de-kriya. Now, this brisa seems to indicate quite clearly that the kriya that we're talking about in the case of Almeso is the mitzvah of kriya. And paradoxically, because he's fulfilling the mitzvah of kriya, therefore he's chayav for Shabbos. Very strange paradox. And the reason he's chayav for Shabbos is because since the Torah commanded him in this kriya, he's not being a mekalkel, he's fulfilling the mitzvah. And obviously on Shabbos we don't do Kriya, because Kriya is one of the 39 Malachas. If he went ahead and did the Kriya, and it's a constructive Kriya, he was Makayiv the mitzvah of Kriya. He doesn't have to do another Kriya on Sunday to replace the Kriya of Shabbos. But he will have to bring a Korban Chatas, because he was Korea on Shabbos. Now how do we reconcile this Brisa with our Mishnah that says you're not Chayiv in the case of Korea al Meso, or Korea Michamoso, Lo Kasha, Habimes the Day, Habimes the Alma. In other words, is this Kriya to be considered a Tikkun, and therefore he's Chayiv? It depends if he is Korea on Meso, on his own relative that died, in which case he's Chayiv in the midst of Kriya. Or is it a Mace the Alma? He decides that he wants to, he's in such a state of mourning, you know, he heard about somebody important that died, or a friend, or chas v'shalom, and he rips his garment. Well, there's no mitzvah of kriya in that case, and therefore the kriya is destructive, and he's part. So the Gemara rejects this for meso ketani. If the Mishnah was talking about a case where he's potter because it's not his own mess and there's no mitzvah of kriya, it should have said al mess. Why did it say al meso in the possessive? It means it's his relative who died. Li'olam b'meis di day. Okay, let me backtrack. It's his own relative. But b'hanach d'lav b'nei avelus nidu. You're only chayiv in kriya with regard to seven close relatives. And if he has another relative who's not within that seven, and he decides to do kriya, the Mishnah says that in such a case, he's potter, because it's a totally destructive act. There's no element of mitzvah here if it's la b'nei avelus nidu. Okay. V'i chacham hu. I don't understand. The Mishnah makes a general statement that korea al meso is potter because he's a makalkil. Well, let's say the person who died is a chacham. How can you make this general rule? Chiyuve mechayev. In this case, he has a mitzvah of kriya. This Tanya we learned in a Mishnah, in a Braisa. Chacham shemes hakol krovim. Everyone's considered a relative to a chacham who dies. Which means that he has fulfilled the mitzvah of kriya. He's going to be chayev for that kriya on Shabbos. And yet the Mishnah makes a blanket, unqualified statement that korea Al-Mes is potter. So the Gemara asks, HaKol Krovim Salka, Daitel Ema HaKol Kikrovim. Don't take this price literally that everyone's considered a relative of a Chacham. I'm not related to this Chacham, but the answer is, it's as if I'm related to the Chacham, because there's a key of mitzvah of Kriya when I find out about his death. HaKol Korim Olav. Right, we're going back to the Braisa. And HaKol Choltzin Olav. HaKol Mavrin Olav Birachava. Now, when it says here, Hakol Choltzim Olav, we have to know a little bit more about the burial customs back in the day. This is not something that we're familiar with. But the custom was in the day of the Talmud that those who would carry the bier, as we call it, the coffin, would rip open their shoulders, meaning rip not their shoulders, but I mean the garments of the shoulders. They would expose their shoulder as an act of mourning, a demonstration of grief. And they would carry it with the dead with the exposed shoulder. And in the case of a chacham, everyone, whoever's carrying the chacham to his burial, has that kiyum, that mitzvah of ripping his garment and exposing his shoulder. Hakol mavrin olav. I mean, this is fascinating. You know, there's something called the Sudas Avra. If Nebuchadnezzar person is sitting Shiva, he's buried his dead. As soon as he comes back from the cemetery, his neighbors will bring him a meal. He's not going to be making his own meals. And they will bring his meal. That's a Sudas Avra. A chacham died, and now you and I can sit down, and we're in a state of mourning. And people will have to bring us a Sudas Avra. I mean, the only question you could ask is, everybody is in the same boat. I mean, who's bringing to whom? I mean, we're all in this obligatory state of Avelus on behalf of the loss of a Chacham. Okay, so that has to be understood. He says in the note here, in Mishnaic times, the meal was served publicly in the street. Since the morning... Okay, so that has to do with how we derive that. Okay, that's not... So, lo tzricha de lav chachamu. Now we have to whittle down our Mishnah. And when the Mishnah says that his kriya is totally kilkul, it must be a case where the deceased was not a chacham. The iodam kashu, are you telling me that there's no mitzvah of kriya on a regular, you know, a poshut yid, a rank and file citizen of the people of Israel? Chiyuve mechayve. Even in that case, there's a mitzvah of kriya. How so? Tisanya. So this Nebuch scenario where a child is taken away during the lifetime of his parents has an additional element of Kedesh Yivkev Yisabel Al Odom Kosher, meaning that perhaps, again, this has to be understood, but perhaps the person who suffered, sustained this tragic loss, was guilty of not crying and mourning on behalf of an Adam Kashe. Okay. Fine. Let's go on. Now, we're going to come with, the Gemara is taking a little bit of a digression. Kedesha Yivke. Arvona shakli mine. What are you telling me? That this man is going to bury his child so that he can cry? You're going to take away? It just doesn't make any sense. As we said before, the child will die for other reasons, whatever it is, but it was organized by Hashem in such a way as a mida keneged mida, because he didn't cry when he was supposed to cry to express his grief on the loss of an Adam Kosher. Okay. So the Gemara says, Lo tzricho, we have no choice, but once again, to whittle down the Mishnah, the lav Adam Kosher, that although there's a kiyum of kriya on the loss of an Adam Kosher, our Mishnah is not talking about an Adam Kosher. Now, an Adam Kosher, I think, means that he's not guilty of any transgressions whatsoever. He is totally dedicated to fulfill the mitzvahs. Now we're going to go to a lower level. Lo tzricha de lav Adam Kosher hu. he's not so careful about the mitzvahs. So the Gemara is saying, are you telling me there's no mitzvah of Kriya? V'idakoi b'shas yitzias neshama. If you were there at the time that he died, then you're chayv in Kriya. Even though he's not an Adam Kosher. Chiyuvim echayv, the Sanya Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, ha'omid ala mes b'shas yitzias neshama. He's by the dead at the time of the death. It's chayv l'kroa. And why does he have to rend his garments? Holamazet domet, similar to a Sefer Torah Nisrafa. In other words, the Sefer Torah represents the Targum Mitzvahs, and here's a case of an Adam who has the potential, even if he's not fulfilling all the mitzvahs, but great potential. He's like a Sefer Torah, and if he dies, it's like you're witnessing in front of you the Srefa, the burning of a Sefer Torah, and you required Kriya. Lo tzricha, our mission is talking, delo koi b'shas yitzias neshama. He wasn't there at the time that the soul departed, a time of death. And therefore, once again, if we exclude all those possibilities, then our Mishnah is on the target. We're talking about a case where he's makalkel, there was no kiyum mitzvah at all in the Kriya. And therefore he's potter. So the Gemara says, okay, tenach meso. You were able to successfully reconcile our Mishnah that says you're potter in the case of meso with the Braisa that says you're chayev al meso. Because the Braisa says you're chayev al meso because it's not mekalkel, it's misakin, because you were obligated in the mitzvah of Kriya. But el chamosa mechamoso kasha, our Mishnah says that if he rips his garments out of anger, he's potter, he's a mekalkel. And the Braisa says that despite the fact that he's destroying his clothes, he is still chayev. Why? Because he's angry and he's letting out his anger. Says the Gemara, chamoso, achamoso nami lo kasha, ha Rabbi Yehuda, v'ha Rabbi Shimon. There are two opinions, and the nafkamina is going to be whether you're allowed to tear your garments when you're angry. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar, Malachish, and So right now the Gemara assumes that if we ask the psychologists, what do we do with this very angry individual, the psychologist will recommend, give him a cloth and tell him to rip it to shreds. It's very healthy for him to let out his anger. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that Malachas Shein Tzricha L'Gufa Chayav Aleh. Now in the case of Korea, we said that if it's not a mitzvah of Kriya, are you intending to sew two stitches? You know, Korea is chayav because Salmanas Litfor Shtei Tefiros. Here in the case of someone who's angry, he's ripping something to shreds in a state of anger, he has no intention to re-sew it. And therefore, that's called the malacha sheinat tzricha legufa. Legufa means that I need the malacha, and I need it for the purpose for which the malacha was done in the Mishkan. And the malacha of Korea was done in the Mishkan in order to sew something after you rip out that part that you want to fix up. Here he has no intention of sewing anything. He's just simply out of a state of anger. He's ripping a cloth to shreds. But Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that Malach Shein Tzrich L'Guf is Chaya. But if you look at our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, the Omer Malach Shein Tzrich L'Guf of Potter Aleh. And since he has no intention of re-sewing this Beged, therefore, it's a Malach Shein Tzrich L'Guf. And according to Rabbi Shimon, he's Potter. So the Gemara raises the following objection. Amar de Shamet Leil Rabbi Yehuda b'Misakin, but Mekalkel Mishamet Leil. You're confusing two different issues here. One issue is what his purpose is in doing the Malacha. And Rabbi Yehuda would say that that's irrelevant. He's chayiv in any event. But there's another issue here that has to be addressed. And that is the issue of Mekalkel. He's ripping a garment to shreds. Why is he chayiv? That should be Mekalkel. And therefore, even if I grant you that this brisa that we saw, which says that Achamosa Yechayev is Rabbi Yehuda, How can you blame Rabbi Yehuda? This is a false accusation. Again, Malach Hashem Tzrich Lagufa, fine, you'd be chayv. But there's another reason you're chayv, you're potter here. And that is because he's mekalkel. Well, Rabbi Ovin, hainami mitakin hudaka ovid nachas ruach liyotzo. That, believe it or not, you can rip a piece of cloth to shreds and it's called mitakin. He wasn't mitakin the beged, obviously. He destroyed the beged, but he's mitakin himself. Why? Because what he's doing is he is cooling off the Yetzirah. He's like paying his dues to the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is getting the best of him, very powerful, and saying, you know, you should violate this Avera and so forth and so on. So what he does is, in order to ward off the power of the Yetzirah, he rips his garments. And in that way, he has satisfied his evil inclination. In other words, it's like you pay up the Satan over here. You know, the evil inclination says, wait a minute, I got you at a very critical moment here. You know, you're angry, and I don't know where I'm going to take you with this anger. You're going to just burn down the whole city, right? So you pay something, so to speak, pay up to the Yetzirah, and you say, you know what? I'm going to rip up this garment to shreds, and the Yetzirah is satisfied. He's not going to come and plague you. Now, if that be the case, as we said before, the psychologists would encourage and recommend that we, in a state of anger, we rip up our clothing. So we have the question then, why does the Brisa say that he's potur? This is not a mekalkel. He should be chayav. Sha'omar Yishuv Yab Yochanan Ben Nuri, Hamakarea Bgodov Michamoso. A person is very angry, and out of anger he rips his garments. Hamashaber kelu b'chamoso. He owns a glass receptacle and he smashes it. Hamafazer ma'osav b'chamoso. He's so angry and disoriented that he turns over his pockets in the middle of windy Rosh Hashanah. I mean, all his money is going flying. Yehei b'necha ka'oved avodah zarah. A person who's angry, and in order to let out his anger, he destroys whatever he destroys. Begadov, Kalov, Ma'osov. You know what? He's an Oved Avodah Zarah. He's an idol worshiper. And what this means is he cannot control his anger. It's not normal. According to this Bryce, at least, there's a different set of psychologists. We have to do a study which psychologists are correct. It's not normal behavior to get so angry that you have to rip something to shreds. Control your anger. And if you don't control your anger, you're considered an Oved Avodah Zarah. It's as if you worshipped a different god. Because someone who's so angry is leaving God out of the equation. A person who realizes that everything is under the providence of the divine being, he doesn't get angry like that. So that anger is a kind of quasi avodah zarah. V'kachum naso shel yetzahara. You know, one day he tells you to rip up your garment. Hayom omelo asei kach. Tomorrow he tells you to do something even more severe. You're already in the shvung, you know, you're like the water that's going down, you know, it's got a whirlpool effect to it. Tomorrow he's going to tell him, do this. Till at the end of the day, the evil inclination will seduce him to worship an idol. And he goes and does it. And the Gemara now elaborates. The Gemara says, Om Rabbi Ovin Maikra'a. You know, what is the verse, the makar, the source of this halach in the Braisa? Lo yia becha el zar, velo sishtachveli el nechar. Ezu el zar, sheyesh begufo shel odom, hevi omer ze hayetzahara. In any event, the pasuk here is in Tehillim, I think, is equating this person with an Oved Avodah Zarah. In any event, let's go back to our question. We just finished saying that that a person who's Karel Chamoso is chayv because he's a misakin that he lets his anger out. But we just quoted a long presentation in the Brisa that indicates that no. A person who lets his anger out by ripping up a garment is an Oved Avodah Zarah. There's no way, no how you can call that a tikkun. That's pure kilkul. So Gemara answers, Lo tzricha de ka ovid le mirma e masei de inish beise. Now, I don't know if any of you are in the field of education or you've had occasions in your life where you had to serve as an educator. And as parents, we are real educators. And sometimes we have to fake anger like a facade as if we're angry so that our children, or in the case of an educator, our disciples, will understand that they have violated some severe transgression. But what you're doing is you're not getting angry internally, you're only showing anger. You're manifesting anger on the outside. It's just a fake. It's a facade. And the Gemara tells the story, Ki hod Rav Yehuda sholif mitzuvasa. Mitzuvasa, we said before, was the hem or the border of the garment. And Rav Yehuda pulled it off to show how angry he was, so that the people around him, the members of his household, will see that what he's saying to them is very serious. Rav Acha bar Yaakov tovar money tviri. He used to break utensils in order to get the people's attention. It's like Vayas call it, right? Rav Sheshes Rami Leli Amse Monine Aresha. He wanted to shape up his maidservant. She was apparently violating some sort of terrible Isser, and he poured fish brine over her head, sounds like. Rabbi Abba Tovar Nachtama. Nachtama, you know, they used to make receptacles, and then they was plaster on a lid, and he would break the lid. And all this was done as a constructive act for a definite purpose, in order to educate those people around him, his household, etc., that this is a very severe violation. So now we have a circumstance in which a person has ripped his garment in a constructive way for purposes of education, to impose the fear in the hearts of those around him, and that's why we understand, according to Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, why he's chayev for Korea Machmas Chamosa. Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Mishum Bar Kapora, Kol Hamorid Mos Al Adam Kosher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sofron Ameinicham Bebeis Genozov. If a person cries, sheds tears for the loss of a kosher Jew, then God collects those drops and he puts them in a Beis Genozov, in his storehouse. Shenemar, and I'll prove this from a pasuk in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, Nodi Safarta Ata Sima Dimasi Binodecha Halo Bisfarecha. That you, in my wanderings, you have yourself counted, place my tears in your flask, as they are not in your account. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Kol Amis Atzel Behespedo Shel Chacham. Anyone who's laid back at the opportunity to deliver the proper eulogy for a Chacham that died, Roy Lekovro Bechayev, he should die prematurely. Shenemar, Pasuk with regard to, if I'm not mistaken, we're talking about Yoshua. It says over here, Vayikvru Oso Begvul Nachloso Besimnas Serach Asher Bar Ephraim Mitzvon Lahar Gosh. They buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnas Serach, which is in Mount Ephraim, north of Mount Gosh. Melamed, Sherogash Aleim Har Lehorgom. The mountain trembled over them to kill them. Omer Abchia Bar Abba, Rav Yochanan Masatzel Behespedo Shel Chacham. He doesn't give the proper eulogy to a person who is a great sage. Eino Marich Yomim. He's not going to live a long life. Mida Keneged Mida. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, in Yeshayoa Novi, and again, he didn't mourn on behalf of the sage's life, and therefore his life will be cut short. And the Pasuk reads, Vayavdu Ha'am Es Hashem Kol Yimei Yoshua. The nation served Hashem all the days of Yoshua. V'chol Yimei Azkenim Asher Harichu Yomim Achrei Yoshua, and all the days of the elders whose days were prolonged after Yoshua. So the elders lived a long life. Amalo Bavloi Yomim Harichu Shonim Lo Harichu. What does it mean? Their days were prolonged, but not their years. Elameata, what are you going to do with this pasuk? L'man yirbu yameichem bimei v'neichem. Yomim v'lo shonim? Are you going to tell me we're just going to give them a couple extra days, but not years? And the answer is bracha shiny. Whenever the Torah is talking about reward and a blessing, that's